admit that every time I hear the story of Saul's conversion from the book of Acts, the Bruce Springsteen song made famous by Manfred Mann always comes to mind. And so now we're going to see how big the generation gap is if you know what song I'm talking about. And he was blinded by the light, cut loose like a deuce, another runner in the night. Or whatever variation of the lyric that you were taught. Well, as we saw last week with Jesus' appearance to the disciples and to Thomas, whenever Jesus meets us, he meets us right where we are. And that is the case with Saul this morning. And for those of you that might be aware, Saul eventually becomes Paul, who authors a majority of the New Testament. Well, before our verses this morning, the last time we see Saul, he's standing at the stoning of Stephen, watching the cloaks of those that had picked up rocks to hurl at this man, and approves to the death of this Jew who he sees as desecrating the true religion. See, Saul was a dedicated Jew. He was a Pharisee, well-educated, zealous for God and his law. Saul was a purist who wanted to make sure that anything and anyone that was distorting Judaism, that was leading people away from the true teachings of the synagogues and the Torah by following this Jesus, was taken care of, was dealt with. Saul was sincerely convinced that his desire to arrest, capture, and even kill these Christians was God's will. And yet God throws a huge wrench in Saul's plan. As I've said before, if you ever want to see God laugh, tell him your plans. One commentator who examines this passage describes in terms of its theme, its doctrinal focus, and its ministry focus. It says that the theme for today's text is Christ calls you beyond yourself. The doctrinal focus addresses why and how we evangelize, worship, and reach out. And the ministry calls us to remember, to expect to be stretched by God when he calls. Mainly, when Jesus blinded Saul on the road to Damascus, he was telling him, hey, look, you might be sincere, but you're sincerely wrong. See, Saul thought he was serving God. Yet in reality, he was doing just the opposite until God dramatically meets him. But this is the beautiful thing about God. He doesn't just want Saul to stop. He doesn't want to just get him to stop doing what he's doing. God desires to transform him. To transform him into the man he desires him to be. See, God could have just zapped Saul. The light didn't have to blind him. The light could have just killed him. And then be done. The nuisance would be gone. Yet I'm sure someone else probably would have stepped in and continued what Saul had started. But instead, the risen Jesus meets Saul personally and challenges him to reconsider everything that he's known. God always meets us right where we are, and yet he never leaves us there. Once Saul encounters Jesus, he's not the same person. Even Ananias is called to go beyond himself to help this man who is his mortal enemy. I can see Ananias kind of saying, really, God? You're calling me to go heal and help the man that wants me and all my friends dead? Seriously? And I love the fact that Ananias asks for clarification. Just wanted to make sure I heard you right, God. And then the neat thing is that God is willing to give it to him. He doesn't berate him for asking for clarification. He explains himself and calls him beyond himself. See, no matter where we are in our walk with Jesus, whether we're like Saul and need to be knocked off our high horse, so to speak, and blinded a bit before we can start to see God as He truly is, or if we're like Ananias, a follower, a believer, seeking Jesus in the day-to-day, and yet needing to take a step further out. Be willing to take the risk to truly accomplish what God wants for us. No matter which we are, God will meet us right where we are right now. And again, He won't leave us there. He will always call us to something beyond ourselves. Are we willing? Mother Teresa was once asked if she had ever imagined how big of an impact that she would have on the world and society. If she had envisioned when she started out the reach that the missionaries of charity would make throughout the world. And her response was that if she had not picked up that first person, she would never have picked up the remaining 42,000. As she says, we all have to start somewhere. What if Saul had not allowed his companions to lead him into Damascus after being blinded? What if he hadn't allowed a member of this horrible way to come and touch him? What if he had been unwilling to let go of what he thought was true and right? What if Ananias had been unwilling to obey the call of God? What if he wouldn't go and minister to one that he considered an enemy? What if he was unwilling to accept Saul as a brother? God meets each one of us. Where and how are we willing to meet Him? Are we open to the call of Jesus in our lives? And are we willing to perhaps allow Him to redefine what we have decided is true and right? One commentator states that what is remarkable about Saul's conversion is not necessarily the drama of his blindness or even his healing from that blindness, but rather the power of the spiritual life that was born in him and nurtured to maturity by the committed Christian community that came to surround him. See, sadly, in our Western individualistic mindset, we tend to see our religion and our beliefs as something that's private and personal. And yet over and over and over again in Scripture, we're shown that while individuals are called, they are always called, always saved in community. They're always saved as a group or for a group. Especially here, Saul is drawn into the community to slowly learn and to be trained so that he can then step out and boldly proclaim the truth that's been shown to him and that he's learned. See, this isn't an isolated event. Jesus meets Saul in his community that was seeking to destroy the way and draws Saul into a new community, into the very people that he had originally been set against. Step by step, Saul learns to understand the call that has been placed upon him. And yet again, never in isolation. It's never just what he wants to believe, but believing what's been revealed to him. Saul is stretched. He's challenged. He's drawn into a community that's bigger than himself. Just like Thomas from last week's gospel had to stay in community of believers in order to eventually get the opportunity to meet the risen Jesus, Saul now had to be in the community of believers to learn what it meant to truly serve the risen Lord, this resurrected Jesus. How how has God called you into life with Him? And if you sit there and think, well, I don't really know if He has, are you willing to find out? Are you willing to seek to know the God we declare is risen and alive? Are we willing to allow God to meet us individually and yet in our community? To draw us to more than we are? Are we willing to be in the community of believers so that we too can learn and be trained to know the truth of who Jesus is, not just what we want to personally believe about Him? I know for myself, it was in very some dramatic and drastic ways that God called me at times, I would say kicking and screaming, from my community that I was in to the community of believers. I often think it would be easier if it was just about my individual beliefs. And yet God continues to press upon me that my call is bigger than me. All of our calls. All of our calls, while they're personal, are about the bigger picture of who God sees and desires. The bigger picture that God wants to accomplish that we unfortunately often don't see. The theme of the 76th General Convention of the Episcopal Church in 2011 was a South African word. And the word is Ubuntu, which I've probably just massacred in its translation. But it roughly translated means, I am because we are. And there's truth in this for every individual seeking to know and follow the biblical Jesus. Just as Saul was not saved for himself, but for the Gentiles. Just as Ananias wasn't saved for himself, but to draw Saul into the presence of Jesus. Not one of us here today, not a single person outside these walls has been saved for themselves. We haven't been saved for our own self-interest. What is Jesus calling you to? What is He calling you for? He will meet you right where you are, but He will not leave you there. He desires to draw you into something bigger, something better. And I pray that each one of us will allow Him to do just that. Amen.